on April the 26th, 1986, an explosion at nuclear reactor number 4 in Chernobyl had catastrophic results which devastated the local population and surrounding areas. Over 30 years later, the consequences of the accident are still very much being felt, and particularly so by the children in the region. This Friday, the 14th of June, Chernobyl Children's Trust hold a one-hour walk in Ardmore to raise much-needed funds to bring children from Chernobyl to Ireland this summer. And I'm delighted to say that I am joined in studio by Anne-Marie Kennefic and Tom Doyle from the committee. And good morning, lovely people.
Morning,
Linda.
Thanks, Linda.
Now, it is frightening to think, isn't it, that here we are 33 years later and we're still talking about the devastating effects of Chernobyl, isn't it?
Yes, Linda. Unfortunately, first of all, thanks for allowing us the time this morning to come in. Unfortunately, it's something that's going to be around for millennia, really. I suppose it's so long ago, people tend to forget. But
it's a hard one.
It's
a hard one to forget, though, isn't it? Because, I mean, back in, you're talking 1986, I was 6 at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember how frightened people were. This side of the water, how frightened people were over this. You've been to Chernobyl, Tom, haven't you?
Yes, I go up regularly, yes. Yeah, every year. Sometimes twice a year, just part of the group. And we see firsthand, really, the consequences of it to this day. The cancers, thyroid cancer, complete paralysis in some cases. And basically, I suppose, the work we do, really, Linda, is we deal with the poorest of the poor and the sickest of the sick, really. And we rely, it's strictly all voluntary. We rely totally on the public, and they've been magnificent. And when I say it's hard, I suppose, people are so good in Ireland, really. If something happens overnight, you can guarantee immediate response. So when I say hard, I mean by try and keep it in the public eye, because people do tend to forget. We work in the villages, we work in Shervin orphanages, sluts, baby homes, stuff like that. Well, they wouldn't have anybody else bar the state. And we work with families whose priority is to keep and look after their own children who are very ill. And rather than hand them to the state, because it's just not a nice picture, really. These places, they're dark, they're kept out of the public eye. They're just Dickensian in nature and by looks, you know. Unfortunately, we lose children every year, unfortunately, and we do our best to keep them alive. The people are a fantastic race of people. Unfortunately, they're a dictatorship regime, and where you have that, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, unfortunately. So I'm very privileged to be part of a group that's been over to Belarus for a number of years. Founded originally in a particular group we have, they're all over Ireland, but the group I'm part of was formed in 2006 by Simon and Dina Walsh in Whitegate. Unfortunately, two great people out there. Unfortunately, Dina succumbed to cancer some 3 years back, and at the age of 55. She's a huge loss to us, and she would have been fierce well-known, like, both in Ireland and within Belarus as well. But we keep it going, and no doubt she's with us, in spirit, at least. And again, basically why we're here this morning is to say that we're strictly a voluntary organisation. We depend solely on the public. We've had huge support over the years, and we'll, no doubt that'll continue. So apart from what we do is our children come, and Anne-Marie will speak more in depth about that now shortly, but we have children coming next month. It's just part of what we do. You could boil it down to 8 projects we have, and that would be just one of them. That's based the children coming to Ireland. The other 7-ish different projects we run within Belarus, as I said. From the cradle to the grave, basically. It started off with sick children. Then, of course, you get to know and meet and know the families. And that snowballs, you know. So right up, you can't just say, here's a child, we'll forget about you now when you get to be 10 or 18 or 20. No, that's not the case. So,
And Anne-Marie, as Tom said, part of the project here is to bring children over to Ireland for the summer. How important are these trips for these children?
Well, they're much more than a holiday. You know, obviously the health
benefits are huge, you know, to have that fresh air and non-contaminated food and stuff. That's huge for them. But I think, like, mentally and emotionally and stuff, it just gives them hope, really, that every child deserves, I think. We had a meeting recently and Simon spoke about an article. It's an old article, but it was about a girl. She wrote it from her perspective of a child leaving Belarus. And of course, like, they come over very young. They come over 7 or 8. So that's very young for the families to, like, I'm a mother. I couldn't imagine putting my child on a flight to a foreign country without their language. But they knew that it was best for their kids, you know, to have that. And years on, she was very lucky. She had a beautiful host family. And years on, she's now studying science in Limerick. So it's huge, you know. They go back with hope. They want to study more. You know, they just have a better outlook on life. And it's not just the child, it's the whole family, it's the whole community, because we send them back with clothes and shoes, and, you know, and they're like, for kids that don't have anything, they don't think of themselves. They look for stuff for their brother, or they'd be looking for bigger shoes. And I remember my mom had my mom's hosting for 3 years now, and we were kind of going, that won't fit you, you know, and they're like shoving it into the bag, but it was for the neighbour down the road, or, you know, a friend in school. So it's much wider than just one child coming to Ireland, you know. It's a whole community, family, and their future.
It must be very humbling for you as a host family to see that, to see the gratitude in these children's eyes for something that we take completely and utterly for granted. I mean, a hot meal on a table and clean water from a tap, that's a given here. Must be very humbling when you, and I suppose it must give you a much greater appreciation of stuff, does it?
Yeah.
When you see these children.
As Sam said, I feel very privileged to be part of this, because, you know, like, them coming over, I thought, oh, this is great, we can do this. They actually done so much more for us, you know, for me as an adult, I know, for my mom, but for the kids even, you know, just, as you said, like, it just teaches them about the little things in life and appreciate it. And they're beautiful kids, you know, and you can learn so much from them, and they're happy and content with what they have, and they're so appreciative of life. Because, as you said, things we take for granted, and it's not just the kids that are spoiled these days, like, as in my child that I was kind of saying she learned from, it's me, you know, as you said, the hot food, a roof over her head, things that we take for granted all the time.
Yeah, without exception, the host families will tell you that their own children benefit so much from having the Belarusian children in their home as well. You know, they really do learn something from it. And, like, from where they're coming from, they're exceptional people, really. I've been in village houses now where they may or may not be a few carrots in the scullery, or whatever you want to call it, as you go in. They're predominantly timber, and mostly wouldn't have windows. And when you bear in mind, it does get down to, in the northern areas, it can get down to -35 in the winter time. So what we do, we have a minibus on site out there, and we drive around, and you basically bring what you can. It's just the tip of the iceberg, really, but that tip is so important. And they might have no electricity, they certainly wouldn't have heating or anything like that. So we would make sure that we'd get timber from by it, put back on the electricity where possible. And alcohol, you see, would be a huge problem. We deal, again, in that area, and we're not telling people what to do or what not to do, far from it. But the man is usually gone, and the mama has left, or the babushka, the grandmother, to rear the children. We have, the mama then has to go out and work on a state farm, we'll say. We're just taking one example that I know of. In this particular village house, there's 5 children, and the dog was left to mind them, an Alsatian dog. And those children were locked in 12, 14 hours a day until mama came back from work. And she would work for a month to earn something like 60, in our money, rubles, in our money, 60 euro per month. And some months she may not get that. How they survive, we just don't know. Like, it is incredible. And then Marie said about being so grateful And we're so grateful that people are well off here, because if they weren't, are all over the world, because they couldn't help, you know, and all the different charities, all the worthy ones. But it's so humbling. You learn so much from it. You really appreciate what you have. It's not about the bank account or the big car or the house, and that's fine, okay. But that's not the really important things, far from it, you know. It's so humbling. You learn so much from it. And those particular same people would give you half of what they have. If they had two of anything, they'll give you one of it.
Yeah. It's amazing to hear you talk about it, because it's very clear and apparent that you have taken so much from it yourself personally. It strikes me you must have learned so much yourself from this. Is there a sense of realisation of how well off, for want of a better word, we actually are?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, yes, yeah. And so even like local elections a couple of weeks ago, we have the right to vote. These people don't. Oh, they can vote, all right. You can be sure, but yeah, the incumbent will come back in with 100% of the vote, strangely enough, isn't it? You know, that type of thing. You know, I'll go back into that political side of it, but where you have a dictatorship and you've got cronies around you, see, our friends who are coming out with two interpreters, Ira and Olga, they're both university lecturers. Olga can play the piano, musical, and speaks three languages. She lectures 5 days a week in the university in Gomel. And on the Saturday, you're obliged then to go in and look after the creche for another 8 hours. Her wages are €150 per month. Now, bear in mind that footwear in Belarus is more expensive than it is here in Ireland. So jeez, they will come now with one change of clothes. And they're educated, highly educated, lovely people, you know. You see, the state will educate you free there, but you'll give it back 10 times over. That's the way. That's the way. Whereby a policeman, a fellow, he's on 600 a month, because he's not going to rock the cat. You with me? He'll look after the cronies. So.
It's, do you think or do you feel that there is a sense, and I don't mean to belittle anybody's problems, because people have issues in this country. There is no two ways about it. And people have their own struggles, and your problems are your problems, and they are important to you. But do you feel that there is a little bit of a lack of appreciation?
Can I?
Yeah. Sure.
I just think I've been to orphanages as well in Kenya and stuff. I just think that I know that there's kids in need here, and there's many sick children here, and there's families in need, and we all know the homeless crisis and stuff. But I find there is, as Tom said, there's no way out over there. We have support systems. We have, I mean, at the drop of the hat, you can go to the hospital and, you know, sit, right, okay, you sit in A&E for many hours, but you see a top doctor. Even if you have nothing, you see a top doctor, you know what I mean? It's not money-based, and it's not about the money, but over there, as you said, the impacts of the disaster is still going on 30 years later. And many kids have still been born with a lot of special needs. But over there, as Tom said, the families are not encouraged to keep the kids. They're, it's very much like, you know, we'll take the kids now because you can't care for them. They're kind of told that the best people to care for them are professionals, but there isn't professionals over there to care for them. So they're put into orphanages, tied to bed. You know, it's horrendous situations. And then if they do keep the kids, there's no support for them. So that's when the trust comes into play then. And we, you know, the trust has nurses and support workers and stuff. Even supplies of like wheelchairs and, you know, nappies and stuff for older kids, you know, that we would have here. We'd have health nurses, we have GPs that we can go and see at the drop of a hat if we want, you know. So it's not that they're worse off than us or we're worse off than them. It's just that the support system is much bigger, I feel, over here. That's me personally. I know there is many families in need here, but that's
yeah, and there is, and you know, absolutely, as I said, everyone has issues, and your issues are very important to you, and they are very important in general.
Yeah.
And it is, and as you said, it's down to the support system.
Yeah.
As a nation like Ireland is way up on the top of the list as regards support.
Yeah.
All various and worldly charities, and you know any disaster that ever happened in any locality, community come together like that. They're brilliant. I mean, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And they've been brilliant to us. When I say they, we are so lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a sideline, I just got back from Lourdes last night, and with the Waterford Lismore Diocese, and I mean the care that I've seen people given there, just by the volunteers alone. There was well over 100 volunteers, and I know the Diocese, the Cork, just came back the day we went out last week, and no doubt they're the same number.
Yeah.
From kids, from transition year students, right up to, you name it, all levels of society and nurses and it was incredible, like the Irish people. It was something to behold just to see the volunteerism alone.
And it's something we should be very proud of as a nation.
Yes, yeah.
We have always, historically, always come together.
And that's proud like with Linda, as in, nobody wants a pat on the back and say, people have said to us, oh, you're great. Far from it. We get back 1,000 times more than these people will ever.
You get back what you give. It's as simple as that.
No.
Yeah. Now, coming back to the event that's happening on Friday. So it is a walk around the beautiful town of Ardmore.
This is your baby, Anne-Marie.
This is your baby. He's throwing it right over to you. So tell us a little bit about it. Can people register? For people just show up in the day? Or what do people do?
This is the second year that we're running this. Last year was a beautiful day, actually. We were very lucky with the sunshine, so we're praying and hoping this year as well. There's no online registration or anything. We're just doing it on the day. So it's starting at 7, so we'll be there from 6:30 onwards at the beach car park. So it's €10 for registration, and kids go free. So yeah, no, it's just registration on the day. It's not online registration or anything.
No problem. If people can't make it on the day, can they still make a donation somewhere?
Yeah, they can still make a donation. You could pass it on. There's you can visit the website, thetrust.ie, and there's a Facebook page as well, the Chernobyl Children's Trust Munster, so we can be contacted through various different things, and you know, if it's local or whatever, we can meet with it. So yeah, there's plenty of us around that if they wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they want to contact the station here, we can hook them up with yourselves as well. Did I also see on Facebook that you're looking for clothing donations? Did I see that?
We put a appeal out on Facebook, and again, as Sam said, people are amazing. Like overnight, it just kind of blew up. So we've a lot of stuff already come in and is coming in. So I think that's just kind of take, you know, because obviously the kids come with very little, you know, a little carrier bag. So and the host families are amazing. We just don't want to put pressure on them. So we were kind of thinking this year if we could, you know, have just some clothing that it would take the pressure off the host families. So yes, we're very excited. We have the kids coming,
and they're coming on the 28th
of June.
So a couple of weeks ago, and it must be brilliant excitement before they come in from their part and from your part. It must be brilliant.
It's like Christmas Eve, I think, for host families, especially for, you know, well, for new, and I was going to say especially for people that have repeat families, because I know we're really excited because the same girls coming over, so that's nice. You know, the kids know our kids, and you know, already my niece and my daughter and stuff are like, oh, when are they coming, and they're counting down the days. But I think even for new host families, it's really exciting. Yeah. You know,
it's strange to see the new children, the ones haven't been here last year, we'll say, and they're so nervous and they're shy and they're kind of looking into a corner. And the youngest we ever had, just a very short brief story, if no other story ever mattered, a 5-year-old, two girls, Vera and Nastia, 5 and 7 they were at the time. They're now 26 and 28. Vera is a medical doctor, qualified last year, and Nastia has her own successful business in Moscow. Now, they came out of pure, absolute poverty, out of village houses. And I won't say who the host family were, but they're still with them.
Yeah.
And seeing right through college, you name it. And that's they could be in an asylum now or anything like that. They could have been ended up there, because they would have been taken under the wing of the state, and they would never again ever see the light of day.
It is absolutely amazing, the work that you do.
No,
I don't know.
Do it at home,
I know, and in fairness, the public do it, yeah. But it does need to be coordinated and stuff as well. And Tom, you've been involved in it for how many years at this stage?
Well, it started in 2006, this particular group, and the people like Simon and Dina had been at it since day one, but they decided to break away from the main group and they thought just concentrate on more specific areas like the villages, you know, and then they got other people around them. That was late October, November 2006, and I joined January 2007, 2 months later, through Dr. John Owen and Talad has told me, and I said I'd be handy enough with a hammer or a saw, and that's how I got into the window. Mm. And we were doing up a little orphanage, rip it out and put it back, and you'd have all electricians, plumbers, blah blah blah. So I drifted from that. Then I found it physically a bit too demanding for me, and after a number of years, so I got into the more administration side of things then. And that's the beauty of it. There was plumbers and electricians, and yet you'd see a mix in a barrel of cement or something. It doesn't matter. Your fear is that, like, you'd walk, some days they did 18, 20 hours one day, I remember, because we were afraid we wouldn't get it all put back in. When I say put back in, like, you'd rip out a kitchen or a bedroom and redo it up to European standards. And the fear would be that we're going home Saturday night, we want to be finished, so you'd drive on.
Yeah.
And I found that, just personally, I found it a bit too much at times, you know. So I drifted into, you know, we're all just gophers, really. It is great, you know. We've great fun, you know.
But listen, there is an old saying, isn't it? It takes a village. And in this case, it takes like-minded people and a nation, Ireland as a country, coming together and saying, you know what, we can help. And we will help.
And Simon, our boss, has always make one of all the things he does. He's a fantastic man. But he says one criteria is you must have fun.
Yeah.
Because these people have nothing but tragedy. And anybody can laugh, smile or sing a song. And, you know, that's the volunteers. Like, that's all you need. The only qualification you need to be a volunteer. You must be able to laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, isn't that very important?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys, for coming into me. And I mean that. It's been an absolute privilege to talk to the two of you. We will get all these details up on our social media outlets. Yeah. I am extending an invitation to the two of you here and now. If there's anything at all we can do as a station, we will do it.
You've been so good in the past, but yeah.
No,
we're a bit shaky starting. There we go. Someone put us at ease, yeah.
No, we're
we
listening.
We really appreciate being asked invited in this morning.
No. We're delighted to have you in. It is so important to highlight this amazing stuff that's going on around the place. It's brilliant. It's a privilege to have you in. Anything at all you need, pick up the phone and ring us, and we'll do what we can for you, okay?
Yeah, thank you. And we just kind of wanted to say thanks as well again to Ireland, to you all, Cork, Middleton, Tallow, everyone, because we were here a couple of weeks ago again for another annual Cliff Walk. And this response that we got was
amazing. Fantastic. Absolutely amazing.
So I think today has been nice for the Ardmore Walk, obviously, to advertise that, but to kind of, you know, because we're coming close to the kids coming now, so it's kind of, we kind of wanted to show that, you know, this is what it's all for and this is what it's about.
And there's no paid, just before we end up, Linda, every cent we get is accounted for, audited every year.
Yeah.
And nobody gets paid. Not 1 cent, not our CEO, nobody. He doesn't take 1 cent a rest for it, nobody.
Yeah.
It's strictly voluntary, and that's what I love about it. So it is one of the few, if the only one, I think, that our CEO or any of the top people don't get anything. They don't get expenses, they don't look for, everything is accounted for.
They do purely
every
for,
cent goes
for the love
towards the welfare
of
the children and their families, whether either in Ireland while they're here or in Belarus for the rest of the year.
It's brilliant. Listen, well done again. What we might do, if it's okay, in a few weeks when the kids come down, we might pop out ourselves and do a little piece out there and just update people on how they're doing and stuff like that. Brilliant. Absolutely.
Yeah, we do outings as well. So when they're here, we do an outing each week. So,
Put CRY on your list of outings and come in here. We'd be delighted to have them in. Absolutely.
Brilliant.
It'd be great to have a chat with them as well. Anne-Marie and Tom, thanks a million. I'm going to get this interview up as a podcast as well, so people can have a listen back if they've missed any of it. The Cliff Walk is happening this Friday. Pop down to the Beach Car Park at about what time did you say to me?
We'll be there from half six.
€10 entry. Listen, if you can't make the walk, throw any few bob at all your way if you can. Contact us here in the station 024 9199 and we'll put you in contact with the guys. Well done. And I know you don't want to take praise for it. Well done. You do amazing work. Best of luck with it. And as I said, anything at all we can do, guys, let us know.
Brilliant, Linda. Thank you very much.
Thanks a million, guys.